This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and let's start today on the presidential campaign trail in New Hampshire. With just five more days until that state's first-in-the-nation primary, candidates are making their final pitches to Granite State voters. Donald Trump was back in New Hampshire today. You'll remember that yesterday we noted he was not in the state. Today he held a rally in Exeter just this afternoon.
Folks, February 9th, it's the beginning. We're going to take our country back. February 9th, we're going to come up with smart answers. We are going to make America great again. February 9th, go and vote.
Well, WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks was at that Trump event in Exeter, and he joins us now from Durham, New Hampshire. Hi there, Anthony.
Hey, Meghna.
So that cut that we just played from Donald Trump, he sounded pretty pumped. How is he actually sounding on the trail these days?
Well, I was really interested to see him because he's sort of gone through, you know, several stages of coming to terms with his second place finish in Iowa. First, there was the humble Trump Monday night. Then there was the sort of petulant Trump who suggested that he didn't get enough credit for his second place finish. Then came the combative Trump who alleged that Ted Cruz stole the election and demanded that Iowa do something about it. Well, now he's regained that pre-Iowa swagger, I'd say, and that was very much on display today in Exeter.
So Trump has made Trump great again, I guess.
you could put it that
yeah.
way.
Well, while other candidates are holding a lot of smaller meet-and-greet style events across the state today, Trump has opted for those bigger rally style events. I mean, what's the feeling in the room?
So this rally was in the historic town hall in Exeter, which is tiny relative to the places he's usually appeared at. So several hundred people were jammed inside, and many more people outside who couldn't get in. Lots of energy, and Trump ran through what's become sort of his familiar list of complaints about the government: bad trade deals, a weak military that he's going to make strong again, a broken immigration system, he'll build that wall in Mexico. But, you know, today I was struck by this. Trump seems to have fun at these events. At one point, for example, he's talking about how much President Obama travels. And he says, when he's president, he's not going to leave the White House. He's going to spend a lot of time in the White House negotiating good deals for the American people and getting things done. And then he said this. Take a listen.
Who would want to leave the White House? Right? You know, you're in there. No, seriously. Who would want to leave the White House? Although I'm building a hotel right next door, which is also located on Pennsylvania, which is going to be a great hotel. You know, I have my alternative. If this doesn't work out, I'll still be on Pennsylvania Avenue, one way or the other. I'm on Pennsylvania. One way.
So he really has fun there, but that's also indicative of how he sort of veers and sort of stream of consciousness thinking. You know, I'm going to spend a lot of time in the White House getting a lot of, and by the way, I'm building a hotel there on Pennsylvania Avenue. But you did notice, Meghna, he allowed that he might not win, which that's new territory for Trump as well.
Yeah, good point, actually, Anthony. I mean, because as you mentioned, Trump has called for a do-over of sorts in Iowa after he came in second there, as you said. Am I right in saying that he's indicating that he believes Ted Cruz stole his win there? I mean, has he brought that up on the New Hampshire campaign trail?
So he didn't bring that up today. He seems to have moved on from that. The allegation here is that the campaign staff of Ted Cruz tweeted out that Ben Carson was dropping out of the race during the Iowa caucus, when in fact all Ben Carson was doing was flying back home, apparently to get a fresh change of clothes. Now, it's hard to imagine that Iowa election officials would give in to Trump's demands, but he didn't mention that today. What he did talk about were many of the themes that he's been talking about all along, and he veers from one issue to another, often in a sort of disorganized way. For instance, to a question about how he plans to save Social Security, he answered, "Well, we're going to save it." And then he moved on to how the U.S. is being ripped off by bad trade deals, to how the U.S. is led by stupid people, to how Christianity is under siege. But then every now and then, he actually it can be kind of cogent and sounds like a real populist. And the case in point today was he was talking about the need to allow Medicare to negotiate directly with the drug companies as a way to save hundreds of millions of dollars. Mm. And here's what he said.
So we're spending perhaps $300 to $350 billion more for drugs buying from our drug companies. Now, people say, how is that possible? It's not possible. It's possible because the drug companies have probably the second or third most powerful lobby They get the politicians, and they're every one of them is getting money from the drug companies, every single one. You know who's not? Me. I'm getting money from nobody, except for the small donor.
So, Meghna, I mean, that was a pretty cogent explanation of the issue here. And by the way, it's the way Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders would talk about the same issue
right.
in much the same way. So every now and then he sort of taps into that populist vein in a pretty credible way.
So finally, Anthony, I'm seeing the latest tracking polls today from UMass Lowell and Channel 7 showing that Trump still has a pretty sizable lead over the other candidates, but Marco Rubio making some gains, up 7 points to 15% compared to Trump's current 36%. So interesting there, but I mean, as you well know, as we learned from Iowa, I mean, Trump was leading by, 5 points going into Iowa? So polls didn't tell us the whole story there. How would you size up the gains that Marco Rubio seems to be making in New Hampshire?
Well, I think it's an interesting race. I mean, Trump still has the advantage. If the race were held today, my guess is he'd probably win. I wouldn't be surprised if he won by not as large a margin as the poll suggests, but a lot can happen in the final days. So, as you mentioned, Marco Rubio rising. He finished right behind Trump in Iowa. So there's sort of a three-way race right now, Trump, Rubio, and Ted Cruz. But then what about the three governors, Chris Christie, John Kasich, and Jeb Bush? They've got to make their statement on Tuesday, or I think it'll be curtains for them. So interesting to watch how that plays out as well.
WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks speaking to us from Durham, New Hampshire on the campaign trail. Anthony, thanks so much as always.
Always a pleasure, Meghna.